The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Hey, it's 2022. How about that? And I just hope you all had a great holidays and a great Christmas. We did, and you know, loved it. I had the family over, and I'm sure that a lot of people had family. Now, here in Idaho, we're allowed to walk on the streets without being tackled for not wearing a mask, and we're not like the totalitarian regime in Australia, and we're not on the left coast. So we had a good time. You know, we had people coming over and eats and fun, and someone brought over some puffy dry snowball things made of cotton, and we had a snowball fight in the house, and it was stupid fun. We had a good time. So hey, look, folks, so we have five open lines. Give me a call. All right, it's on this is January 4th 2022 for the podcasters, and if you want to know if this is live or not, yes it is. Why? And I got a little bit of an announcement, small one, to make right after I give the number out again. 877-207-2276. I want you to give me a call if you have a question on theology, the Bible, Roman Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, Baha'i. You have questions about Eastern Orthodoxy. You want to know if something is biblical or not biblical. We can talk eschatology, soteriology, pneumatology, ecclesiology. Should women be pastors and elders? What about baptism? Is it necessary for salvation? How do Christians relate and interact in the real world? What do we do? What do we do about censorship? And even some COVID stuff, if you want to talk about that. All kinds of things. So it's up to you if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now get this. Okay, today is January 4th, but on the 2nd, it was Sunday, and that's when I started radio full-time, well, not full-time, but I mean 5 days a week, an hour a day, 17 years ago. I've been doing radio 17 years, 5 days a week. How about that? And not many people know this, but I did radio for 2 years before that, once a week. And so basically 19 years of radio, but 17 radio years, 5 days a week, an hour a day, and enjoying it. Now, I'll be doing radio for the rest of this week, but what we're going to be doing next week is I'm going to have Luke Wayne. He's going to take over, or I might have him on with me one day or something. Well, it depends on how comfortable he is. We're going to start having him do the radio show once a week, or for 1 week, every 3 months. And we're going to prep him up because, hey, I'm 65 years old, got to raise up people to replace me. Now, that's going to be pretty much impossible because I'm extraordinarily good at being obnoxious and irritating. And not many people can master that as well as I have. So I'm going to have to train him, as long as his wife's not around, how to be more obnoxious and irritating. Because if she hears what I'm doing, she'll just say, no, don't listen to him. But that, you know, you got to get past that. So I'm really good at that. That's what I tell people. All right. And so congratulations, 17 years on the radio. And I don't know how long I've been on this network. I think it's 4 years, 3, 4, 5 years. I don't know. It's been a while. Things do fly by quickly. And, you know, by God's grace, just have a good time. I've had a great time doing it. I really enjoy radio. It's a lot of fun. It is. It's not easy sometimes, but most of the time it is. All right. So, and if you're a new listener, Matt Slick is my real name, not the radio name, but Matt Slick, S-L-I-C-K. And I think that's about it. So give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get on the air with Will from Charlotte, North Carolina. Will, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, sir? First, I'd like to say that I appreciate everything you do. You're an awesome teacher. I wish I stayed with you today so I could get up under you and just soak up everything I could. But
Well, it all depends. It all depends. See, if you're irritating and obnoxious like I am, your brain is fine-tuned. And you can just memorize stuff all over the place. You got to be perfect at something, and that's why. See, so that's what I tell my wife anyway.
All right.
But she rubs her forehead a lot around right. me. I don't know what that's about, but you know, I don't worry about it.
So. Right.
All right. So what do you got?
My first question that I had was, I hear people say a lot, Jesus Christ is God all by himself and stands alone, this, that, and the third, but I couldn't understand that because, of course, we had the Holy Spirit and we had the Father, so I'm just trying to figure out why would they say that. I don't know.
Okay. So let me...
I hear people often mention Jesus Christ as God and mm-hmm. don't mention the Holy Spirit or the Father, and that throws me off.
Right. Well, it's just a matter of understanding the doctrine and the terms, and then... being a little more clear than most people are. So we have to go through what's called monotheism, which is a teaching that there's only one God in all places and all time. And the Christian God, by necessity, has always existed. So there's no place or condition or situation in which the Christian God could not or might not exist. And the Christian God has eternally existed as a Trinity. Now, the Trinity is not three parts, but what we call three persons. And yet, at the same time, the three persons share the same divine essence, but they express themselves differently in different functions in creation. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all the one being. Now, there's a doctrine called divine simplicity. Divine simplicity means that God is just one thing. Not three parts, not aspects, not a bunch of characteristics that are separate and kind of flowing around. So what I like to do sometimes is just illustrate it by saying, imagine a carbon sphere. It's pure carbon. Carbon 12, it's just a sphere. And it's, you know, it's 20 centimeters in diameter. It is one thing and only one thing, and that's what God is. And even as a Trinity, that's what he is one thing. So in that carbon sphere, now this is only an analogy, there's not three parts, but only one substance. But how that one substance is manifested to us is in three persons. The three persons share that same divine essence. We call that the ontological Trinity. But they express different functions in creation, and we call that the economic Trinity. And what that means is, for example, the Father sent the Son. The Son did not send the Father. Only the Son became incarnate, but not the Father, not the Holy Spirit. And so stuff like that. There's differences in how they function. So that's that. Now, so who's Jesus? Well, what people don't understand initially what I mean when I say Jesus came into existence 2,000 years ago. Now, they'll say, well, no, Jesus is eternal. No, that's not correct. Jesus came into existence 2,000 years ago. And what we mean by Jesus is that the second person of the eternal Trinity added human nature or was made in union with human nature. And that union occurred 2,000 years ago, and we call him Jesus. So we say that Jesus has two distinct natures. The divine nature and the human nature. And there's a big term for this called the hypostatic union. And verses for that are Colossians 2:9, Philippians 2:5-8, things like that. Hebrews 1:6-8. And so what we see in the person of Jesus is that he has a divine nature and a human nature. That union of those two natures, the union started 2,000 years ago. But the divine aspect or the divine nature, of course, is eternal. But the union began 2,000 years ago. So when people say that Jesus is God, now we have to be careful. Because when we say there's one God as a Christian, we're saying there's one eternal being who exists as three distinct simultaneous persons. So when we say Jesus is God, we have to be careful that we don't say that God there means the Trinity. Jesus is God, the Trinity is God, or God's a Trinity, so therefore Jesus is a Trinity. No, we don't want to say that. That's called equivocation. So the word God changes its meaning slightly in its usage. When we say there's one God, we're saying one being who exists simultaneously and eternally as three distinct persons. When we say Jesus is God, what we're saying is that he has that divine nature. We're not saying he's the Trinity, but he has a divine nature. Because there's one being who is God. God is a Trinity. When we say Jesus is God, we're saying he's divine. It's in the, what we call the ontological aspect, that the nature and the essence of the divine being, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we say Jesus is God, that's what we mean. And that's the clarification that needs to be had. I gave you a lot of information there, but I hope that helps. So, did it?
Somewhat.
That's all right.
I'm going to need to study more, that's all. That's all. And the last question that I had was, I've also heard people saying, Satan has peeked into your future and seen this, that, and whatever. And I couldn't understand that because I was like, well, if Satan could see into the future, why would he allow, or why would he do what he did to Jesus on the cross and defeat himself? If he's seen with Jesus being crucified, his defeat comes, why would he do that if he can see into the future?
Well, you see, the idea that Satan peeked into your future is found in the book called Second Moronicles. Okay? It's not there.
Nice.
All right?
Nice.
So,
like
it's, yeah, or, you know, or Third Deuterectomy, or, you know, it's just not there in Scripture. Okay? People say things.
Right.
They do this all the time, and they say it as though it's true. What I am known to say to people is, show me that in Scripture. I say that so many times to people that they basically are getting irritated. And so I had discussions over the holidays with people online, and I said, show me that in the Bible. Show me that in God's Word. Show that to me in Scripture. And I say, if you don't show it to me in Scripture or the verses that support that concept, I'm going to reject it. Flat out.
Right.
I'm not interested. I don't mean to be impolite when I say it. I say, I'm not interested in your opinion as fact, but as God's Word as
right.
fact. So when people say
right.
that, Satan can look into your future. Really? Where does that say in the Bible? I mean, show me.
Right.
Second hesitations?
I couldn't understand it.
It doesn't make sense. So people very often, this is one of the problems that's happening in the Christian church today, is that people have a word from God. Now, I believe in the charismatic gifts, but they have a word, and I know that this is what God put in my heart. And as though they have a straight line to God, and they don't submit it to the Word of God. Because if they did, it would require them studying the Word of God. And most people would rather just feel their way through theology instead of studying what God has revealed. This is why so many people are in error, and they'll say things like, Satan could peek into your future, blah, blah, blah. Okay. It's not in the Bible.
It's sad. You don't have any friends that teach here in Charlotte, North Carolina, do you? Or somebody
no.
that you can recommend?
No, I don't, but I have a friend who used to live there, and he'll know some good churches in the area. So you can always write us and info@carn.org. We're some good churches in Charlotte. I think Charlie here knows a website that he's going to probably put in the text, and I'll repeat it, where they have some places researched where some good churches. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We've got a break, and we'll just move on to the next caller. And then after the break, I'll give you that information. You just listen for it. Okay, buddy? All right, man?
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, Will. God bless. Hey, folks, four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're having fun in the text, and so I was writing in the break that, you know, I've been laying off sugar and carbs and feeling really good working out, changed my diet quite a bit, and then I said I'm also perfecting how to be obnoxious to my wife and the ladies. Poor woman. They're typing stuff. It's a lot of fun. So if you want to participate in that, all you got to do is go to carm.org, carm.org. On the right-hand side, you'll find the, I believe the link should work. kind of changing things around a little bit, but you can also just go to Facebook if you want, and just look up Matt Slick Live on Facebook. Matt Slick Live. You can watch it. You can join and text. There are a lot of good people there. We have a lot of good conversations. All right, so the information to find a church, thanks Charlie Spine, is just go to TMS, the Master's Seminary, .edu, TMS.edu, so the Master's Seminary, TDS.edu. And if I found out that all you got to do is go to the search thing on that site and just type in find a church, and it'll give you the page. So it's tms.edu/find-a-church. But it's themastersseminary.edu, then you just search in there for find a church. And they have a good listing there, and the Master's Seminary is good stuff. Hey, we have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Amor. Amor, forgot your name. From North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Yes, Matt. I'm becoming a regular here. It's my third time to call, and belated Happy New Year, and you said you're 17 years in the radio, and I hope you have more years to come. I really love listening to you. I'm a regular listener now, belated Happy New Year also.
Thanks. Can you talk a little louder? I have you maxed on my thing.
Okay, hold on. Is that better?
I think so. Maybe Keith can up it a little bit or something, too. But we'll see. We'll just work it out. Go ahead.
Is that better?
I think so. Okay. I can hear you talk more.
I said, belated Happy New Year, and you said you are 17 years doing
yes.
the radio.
Yep.
And I hope you have pray for you for more years to do this, what you're doing. But my
Thanks.
Question to you is that... a lot of preacher, evangelists, I listen for many years, churches like that, big preachers, they wrote books. They wrote books about the Bible, God, and everything. Or sometimes they even make DVD. I don't think it's already obsolete now. But anyway, they wrote books and sell it to people like that. Is that biblical,
Matt? Sure. We have the right to make a living out of what we do. That's what the pastor said. The Bible says about the pastor. And so, and the minister of the gospel. So I've written several books, a Christian Defense Manual, some science fiction novel called Time Trap, an atheistic, I guess kind of a fiction novel, An Apologetics and Atheism, a fiction novel called The Influence, Right Answers for Wrong Beliefs, A Course on Islam. So written several books, and we have the right to do that, and it benefits others. Just like I'm writing articles on CARM, and if you think about it, you know, I've written about 5,000 articles. Well, that's equivalent to, 100 books, okay? So we have the right to, people have the right to write books and study. No big deal.
And sometimes they even make movies, So
yeah,
I just want to double check with you because you know about the Bible. I just want to make sure is it biblical? That's why I've been playing that in my mind. And
it's no problem.
You are the best one who can answer that.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a lot of people write books and explain things. So I've done that, and people have benefited from my writings on the website as well as in book form. So, praise God. That's all. It's just for the glory of God.
Before I let you go, I know you have other callers. There is a caller, I think, but there is a lady caller one time from North Carolina also about our lieutenant governor here, Mark Robinson, which I know him. I've been to some of his meetings, because I very active in the party in here in our county. And if you have a chance, or I know you're busy a lot, but he is a really, every time he speaks, and I believe him, every time he speaks, he is very, biblical. He's telling it in the legislature. I said, be careful, Mark, because I know him for a little bit. be careful because they're going to come after you with all this Christianity against the same sex, everything. And he's so loud because he's a big guy. He's a tall black guy.
Well, do you have
and
a question, though?
Coming after you.
You have a question about this?
Me, I say it again.
You have a question about him or something?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is if you have a chance to maybe check on his profile or something, he's really spreading. He said one time in his speech, if the left hate me, Jesus Christ is my boss, I don't care. Something like that.
Right.
And I really want to share that to you. That's all.
Oh, okay. I see.
He's a lieutenant governor. I think he's planning to run for maybe higher. We will see.
Good.
But I just want to share that to you. And
right.
I hope you have a long, long more years of your show, and I listen to you every day, and God bless you, and God bless you muchly.
Well, thank you, and God bless you. All right, man.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, no problem. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Mason from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hey. So what do you got?
Hey, I had a kind of a statement, and I also had a question. That couple of calls ago was talking about wanting to find a good church in
Charlotte,
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my mom lives, near there. When I go and visit her, I go to Sardis Baptist Church, which is in the Matthews area. And then there's also Cavalry Church.
Okay.
The pastor there is John Monroe. I have never been there, but I listened to him on the Truth Network. His sermons are on there, and it seems like a very good biblical teacher.
Good.
Been profitable for me.
All right.
So, just a suggestion, but my question comes from 1 John 4:19, 20-21. When it says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar, or whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. I understand the exhortation of the commandment there, but my question is, I kind of read it and I was confused because it says, no man has seen God.
Well, hold on. We got a break, and we got a break, and we can talk about this. Can I run off your question? Is what about the verses where no one has seen God, but yet they seem to have? If that's your question, so hold on. We'll see. We'll get to that maybe after the break. If that's his question, we have two open lines: 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. They had a little tech problem. We're talking to Keith, the producer, during the break there, and something just went bad. It happens. Not a big deal. So we're back on the air. All right. So let me get back to Mason. Let's see. We should be back on the air with the Mason. Are you still there?
Yes.
Mason? Okay. So what's your question?
Yes, sir,
make sure I understand your question.
So my question was there in the passage in 1 John chapter 4, when I was reading it, I got the impression that it was saying that no man has seen God. And I kind of went back to before the fall when there was open fellowship between Adam and Eve and, mm-hmm. and God. So that was my understanding and reading it, and as you said, no man has ever seen God, and I was wondering if that just meant what exactly that meant.
Well, you're right. Adam and Eve are walking with God, the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament there. And also in Genesis 17:1 and 18:1, the Lord, Yahweh, appeared to Abraham. In Exodus 6:2 and 3, God says, He says that God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. He calls himself God Almighty. He says, I am Yahweh. I appear to them as God Almighty. In Exodus 24, 9 through 11, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders went up, and they saw the God of Israel. And I can go on. And yet it says in John 1:18, no man's ever seen God. And in 1 Timothy 6:16 and 17, God dwells in unapproachable light whom no man has seen nor can see. So how do we reconcile this? Well, it becomes very easy when we understand the doctrine of the Trinity. So when it says no man's ever seen God, for example, in John 1:18, you'll find that the word God there, after verse 14, means God the Father. We know this because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. And then verse 4, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that's Jesus. So when he's speaking, he is speaking of God. He's speaking of the Father. And John does that, and John speaks that way when he writes what is meant by God. And we know that because Jesus says in John 6:46, he says, no man has seen the Father at any time. So he's specifically referencing the Father is not the one who has been seen. They were seeing God in the Old Testament. It was God Almighty, but it was the pre-incarnate Christ whom they were seeing, and that's how you reconcile it. Okay?
Okay, absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, no problem at all, man. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear him. You give me a call. And let's see. Let's get on the air with Carson from Minnesota. Hey, Carson, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there, Carson?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Sorry,
so what do you got, buddy?
Was I late? Okay. So when you said a second ago when they saw the pre-incarnate Christ, do you mean the angel of the Lord or just in general every time they saw God?
The word angel means messenger, and so there's debate and discussions about is it a created being as reference to a messenger, or is it actually the pre-incarnate Christ who was that? And some say that there's an angel, a created being, who carries the name of God, and therefore it can say he is God, and I disagree with that. If you go to Exodus 6, 2 and 3, this is what it says there. This is really important because a lot of people fail to take this into consideration about the angel of the Lord being a created being. It says, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. Now, there is no way that's an angel because it says God is speaking and calls himself Yahweh. He says, I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. So we know that that is the case. So, at least in there. Okay?
So wait, so that's the angel you said?
I'm sorry?
You said that's the angel? Or...
No, in Exodus 6, it says God spoke further to Moses. So because it says God spoke further to Moses, I'm concluding that it was God who is speaking to Moses. It says God. And he says, so I am Yahweh. That, I'm sorry?
So you would say that the angel of the Lord is Christ, right?
I would not say he's the angel of the Lord, Jesus. I would say he's the pre-incarnate Christ.
What does that mean? Like, is it Jesus or no?
What church do you go to?
I go to a Lutheran church.
What kind of Lutheran church? What's the denomination?
I think we're LCMS, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. I went to an LCMS college. Just checking because you're asking questions, and sometimes people who deny who Christ is or they ask those kind of questions. I'm not saying you are. Just thing. Are you making noises in the background there too? Doing something?
Oh, sorry. Do you hear someone?
Well, people who are driving might be hearing clicks and sounds that people are doing on the radio while we're talking, and they might be looking around going, what's that noise? Is that in my car? Is it what? And we want to make sure that it's just clean as much as possible. So the angel of the Lord, there's different discussions about it, but at least here in Exodus 6, it's God Almighty who's speaking and who appeared because that's what God says. It's not an angel, as in a created being who represents God. It's actually God himself. And the only way that can make sense is to understand in John 6:46, the Father is the one who's never been seen. And so it can't be the Father who was there. Pre-incarnate Christ makes a lot of sense.
Wait, so did Adam and Eve also see like God as well? Or?
Yeah, they would have seen the pre-incarnate Christ See, the Father, out of 1 Timothy 6:16, the context is the Father. He dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see.
You said in 1 Timothy 6?
1 Timothy 6:16.
14:16? Yeah. I thought that was referring to Jesus.
No, because it says he dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. They've seen Jesus. Okay.
Interesting. And also in did you answer a John 1:1 question for your
sure.
Because I had a question, because some people said with the usage of John 1:1 that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, some people will care, you know, whether you're someone's like a modalist, or some even try to use this against Trinitarians to be like,
right,
Jesus is the Father. They'll say, since the Word was God, it says in the beginning was the Word, what was with God, and the Word was God. They'll try to use that to say, look, Jesus is the Father, because you believe that when it says he was with God, it's referring to the Father.
Well, so, yeah, they're reading into the text, and they want to make it say what they want it to say, but it's not what's going on. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now remember, in the beginning is Genesis. In the beginning God said, let there be light. So in the beginning God said, that's his Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So if, and the Word, we know, is not just a spoken thing. It's actually, the person, okay? It was with God, and yet was God. So it's a great verse to show the plurality of God. And it is. But the oneness, you know, it's a non-Christian cult religion, the oneness, Pentecostals. So they just rip it to destruction. That's all, unfortunately.
Yeah, but how would I be able to, like, show them that their interpretation is wrong of saying...
You can't.
See, just because it says...
You don't understand. You can't. Because it's a little vague, and they're just going to believe what they want. That's all. They're just going to believe. You could argue with them, but how are you going to prove it?
So it's just an interpretation thing.
With at this point, on the level that they have, you're not going to be able to get through to them. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is.
So pretty much, we just have to be like, well, I disagree? Or?
Well, you say, no, you say... You say that because you're oneness, and so you're reading that text in light of oneness theology. That's why you hold to that position. That's what you do.
Okay.
But, and then what I'll do is I'll say, so we disagree here, and I can show you where, you know, what it actually means, but you're not going to agree with me. So here we go, back and forth. We're not going to really get very far. So what I do is I take into John. John 6:38 is a good verse. And you ask oneness people, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That verse is a problem for them, because it says, I came down from heaven. Who's the I who came down from heaven? Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That means he was sent from heaven. He was already in heaven, the I. So you see, how can you have that if God's only one person in heaven when there's no incarnation yet, if he's been sent? You see the problem that they would have? Now, that's more of a direct problem for them. John 6:38. And it is a problem. And I've heard them try and get around it. And what they do is just atrocious. Oh, there's a break.
But can't they you?
Hold on, buddy. We've got a break, okay? Well, hold on. We had a break. And formulate that question. We'll get back to you after these messages. Hey, folks, four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, let's get back on the air with Carson from Minnesota. Hey, Carson, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, so what was your question?
So I think I'm going to go back to the aims of the Lord thing as well. So when you said that one verse in Exodus where it says, like, I am God or whatever, right?
Yeah, he says, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. That's not an angel.
Okay, and which verse is that?
Exodus 6, 2 and 3.
Okay. One second.
Well, I can read it to you. Quote it to you. Okay, what are you trying to demonstrate? What's your point? Are you saying that it is an angel?
I'm asking, some people believe that the angel of the Lord is Jesus, right?
Well, it depends. You see, like I said, what do they mean by that? Do they mean a created being, or do they mean the pre-incarnate Christ as an angelic representation? That's weak. But it's doable if they say that it just simply means messenger from the Lord. And then they got to be careful with all that. Okay.
Okay. But I don't think, when they say that, they're not saying he's created. Because doesn't the angel of the Lord say things like, I am the God of Bethel?
You have to find me the verse. Always find the scriptures and read the context to see what's going on.
Yeah, I can find you the verse. So... have you, like, listened to the Hands of the Lord stuff?
Of course I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, have you come to a conclusion and said, no, I don't think that's Christ, or
it's been a while, and so it occurs at different times in different places, and it's been a while since I've looked. I was mainly concerned about it as it relates to the New Testament, because I wanted to find that if the angel of the Lord is Christ, or potentially Christ, then I would not expect the angel of the Lord to appear in the New Testament. The phrase, the angel of the Lord, that's what I would have expected, but it does in Acts 8:26, 12:7, 12:23. And so then I had to reevaluate stuff. It occurs several times in the New Testament, an angel of the Lord. But now I want to go to the angel of the Lord. And that's a little bit different, and so we do that. We find, let's see, it does occur in Matthew 1:24, right? And did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary his wife. So that angel of the Lord is a created being, and it's not Jesus, obviously. So you see, this is why it's not an easy one just to go over. I'd have to look at and remember, because it was years ago I did this, and see how many times the phrase, the angel of the Lord, appears in the Old Testament and stuff, which it does occur.
I think 57 times total.
So we got callers waiting. Do you have anything else? Because we have a full set of callers waiting. We're going to move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
we have four more callers waiting. I want to get to them before the end of the hour. All right, buddy.
I think that's good. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. God bless. All right, let's get to Will from Wisconsin. Hey, Will, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing tonight?
Oh, doing all right. Hanging in there.
Oh, awesome. Hey, I had a question for you, more potentially advice on how to deal with the situation. So I have a actual physical brother.
Away from the barking dog somehow?
Yeah, I put him in the other room. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a brother, an actual blood brother, who is professing to be a believer. And over the last couple months, he's done some wrongs, not only to me, but some people in the church as well, mainly dealing with, like, stealing and potentially may have some other issues behind that as well with the reason of the stealing, like potentially some addiction issues and whatever. But my question is, so I went to him and confronted him about this, and it didn't really go as planned. So then the next step that I did was following. Sorry about the dogs. But,
yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble because I have Asperger's, and so those kind of sounds in the background really are tough on me, just to let you know. But I'm working it. All right.
Okay, so he's got discipline. Yeah, so like dealing with discipline, and we were going to the same church for a while, but since the confrontation, he has left our church, and I don't know if he is going to church right now. He says he is, but a lot of things are
So what's your question?
You just don't know. So my question is, the next step is to bring somebody else in. And my pastor, since he knows both of us, has volunteered in doing that. And so my next question is, he keeps putting it off, like he comes up with all these excuses. So I know.
So what's your question?
Thing is, I guess my question is, should I confront him again?
Or okay.
Should, what would be
so
the next?
What you've already confronted him, right? Because he's your brother, and you've
yes.
already talked about this,
yep.
right? Okay, so Luke 18, or Matthew 18 is what you're talking about here. And what you do is you go to him first, and you talk to him. If he won't have that, you talk to the elders of the church he's going to, and the elders need to confront him. And if he refuses to repent at that point, then you take it to the church, and then you let
yep.
the church know. And then you pray for him, because you know, people often in drugs and things like that, they have become enslaved, and Jesus is not their Lord, but in that sense, you know. And if you are Christian, God will discipline him, or kill him, take him home. But if he's not,
yeah.
well, it's just a manifestation that he's not, you know.
Okay.
What you got to do?
All right.
Talk to the elders. Yep. All right. That's what you got to do, buddy. And pray for him, of course.
All right.
All right, Will.
All righty, man. Thank you.
All right.
God bless.
God bless. Okay. Let's get to Bill from Maryland. Bill, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. So what do you got, man?
Hey, hey, Matt, I have a question on free will. I had heard you and Leighton Flowers talking about, I think it was compatibilist free will versus libertarian free will. I was just wondering
correct.
If you could kind of expand on those a little bit.
Sure. Leighton Flowers, is, you know, I've met him and stuff. We disagree. I think he's in a great deal of error, in particular because he attacks Reformed theology unnecessarily, and he holds to libertarianism, which I believe is a form of humanism. Having said all that, compatibilism is the view that man's free will is compatible with God's sovereignty, predestination, and election. That God is greater than our free will. We have the freedom to make choices consistent with our nature that are not forced. And that God's work and sovereignty is perfectly compatible with that. The libertarian would say, no, it's not. That, and this is the problem, libertarians would say, God can't either know what we're going to do, because if he knows what we're going to do, then when it's time for us to do it, we're not able to do anything different. It's a faulty logic argument, but a lot of them use that. Or they'll say that in libertarianism, it means that you're just simply free, even as an unbeliever, to choose God or not. Well, that's not what the scriptures teach at all. And so
right.
libertarianism, is my opinion, is non-compatibilism. Compatibilism is the biblical view. I will defend that. I'll debate it, and I'll debate Leighton again on it. But that's the basics.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I had I wasn't familiar with those terms, and I just kind of wanted to
sure.
Let me information on that.
Before you go, let me explain something. A lot of people are humanists, and without realizing it within the Christian church, humanism is the idea that the human being is the standard of righteousness, truth, morality. So one of the things I will do is I'll ask someone, I say, I'm going to ask you a trick question. And I say, you ready? They say, yes. Is free will the ability to have a choice of good and bad? You can do good or bad, and you're able to do them. No one forces you, and you freely choose to do either one. And I ask, is that free will? And what do you say? Is that a good definition of free will? The ability to have good and bad options, you can do either one, and then you can choose which one you want to do. Is that free will?
No, because man has a sin nature.
You're right. And also, God wouldn't fit in that definition. And the point I'm trying to make with people is that they assume their own standard in their own selves as the standard. But God can't choose between good and evil. He can only do good. And yet he has freedom. So free will must be defined in terms of God, not us. And so then you have the idea that God is the one who, or free will is the ability to make choices that are not forced, but are also consistent with your nature. That includes God and man. And when we understand that man is a slave of sin, a hater of God, can do no good, can't receive spiritual things, etc., then we understand what free will is to the unbeliever. He's perfectly free to do what he wants. He will always choose to reject God. That's it.
Okay.
Then we get into stuff. Right. So, but libertarianism would say, nope, they're free to be able to believe in God. Compatibilism would say, no, they're not, because the Bible says they can't. And so that's where we get into other stuff. Okay?
Okay. Sounds great, Matt. Thank you so much. Hey, my wife and daughter bought me the Mother of All Notebooks from Carm for Christmas, and it's pretty good resource.
Well, you can work out with it, you know. Because
it's
substantial. Mother of all, yeah, we call it the moan.
True.
Yeah, we call it the Widowmaker, the mother of all notebooks, the moan. You know, yeah, it's fun. It's like 10 years old. I got to update it because I could double the size now. I could easily.
Okay.
All right,
okay, well, hey, thank you very much, Matt. God bless.
All right, God bless. Okay, cool. All right, let's get to Anonymous from Indiana. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So what do you got, man?
I have a question on slavery in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 14. The spoils that the Jews are allowed to have, they're allowed to have the women and the little ones after they are commanded to kill all the men.
Mm-hmm.
My question is that chattel slavery?
Chattel?
Are these women being
No.
kidnapped against their own will?
No. Are you an unbeliever or a non-Christian or what? Just curious.
I'm a Christian.
Okay.
Is it all right if I just get off here and listen to your answer?
Sure, sure. And what?
Okay.
It was Deuteronomy what?
Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 14. Is this chattel slavery? Are they kidnapped against their own will? The women and the little ones.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll try and answer that. All right. Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Sure. And so it says only the women and children and the animals, and they did kill the men and things like that. It's been a while since I looked at the context, but it has to do with the Hittites, Amorites, the Canaanites, Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Wow, man, a lot of ites in there. And so chattel slavery means that a person who is chattel has no rights, has no freedoms, and you are completely owned by someone else. And that's what chattel slavery is. That's never the biblical position. So when the slaves of all kinds could be freed and could voluntarily decide to be slaves, and some, they all had to observe religious holidays, and a master who punished them would be punished themselves if he hurt them. And we're running out of time. There's more to this. And if they were to escape, they're not to be returned, because chattel was property and it was to be returned. But slaves who escaped were not to return, not to be returned. So it's not chattel slavery, because it applied to all slaves. Hope that helps. Hey, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.